It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. Jackie Perry started quilting as a hand quilter and loved teaching hand piecing and hand quilting. As she continued to learn more techniques, she added to her classes. She recently retired from teaching, though, but she loves the fellowship with other quilters. Jackie also enjoys designing original work and participating in challenges. Many of her quilts have been in major quilt shows. You may have seen her quilts, as she is a multiple international quilt show award-winning quilter, including many best of show. We talk about several quilts that are shown on Jackie's episode page on A Quilter's Life website, so you might want to take a look there too. Jackie, thank you so much for joining me on A Quilter's Life.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to go through all these questions that you've got for me.
I'm excited to hear your answers. Let's start with Audra Rasnick, sent you my way, and I'm so thankful to her. Now, how do you know Audra?
Audra and I, we were talking about it, and we probably met about 2012, 13, something like that, maybe even before that. And we were at a quilt show, and my friend Linda Vaughn was judging, and I was her scribe. Audra, I think, actually had a quilt in that show. It was in far southwest Virginia, and they're called the Crooked Road Quilters in Clintwood, Virginia. And we just really hit it off, and we've been friends ever since. And she was just starting out wanting to know how to do show quilts and what it would take to do show quilts and that type of thing. And she got some advice from Linda on how she could improve her quilting and that sort of thing. So that's where we met. We've been friends ever since.
Isn't it fun to meet someone that you just click with?
Yes, sure is. And she's such a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jackie, where were you born and raised?
I was born in Denver, Colorado. And my dad worked for AT&T. He transferred about every 2.5 years. So my brothers and I were all born in different cities. I was born in Denver. I had a brother born in Reno, Nevada, and I had another brother born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we lived in those cities, and then we went back to Denver, and we lived there for a while. And then my dad got transferred to Kansas City, so we lived in Kansas City after that. And I went through high school there. So
you moved around a lot.
We moved around a lot.
Do you have a special childhood memory during that time?
Well, a lot of quilters have memories of family traditions and that type of thing as far as quilting goes. But my story is a little bit sad. My parents divorced when I was about 5, and my mother just decided she didn't want to be a mother anymore. So she left, and my dad raised us. We lived with his parents, my grandparents, for a while in Colorado. And they kind of lived out in the country a little bit. My grandfather had old cars, and we would play in these old cars, my brothers and I. We just loved playing in the cars. But to this day, when I smell an antique car, I can smell that smell, and it brings back these memories of playing in these old cars. And another one was my grandmother had a rhubarb patch, which I love rhubarb to this day. And I'd go out there and I'd eat her rhubarb and she'd make pies and things. So that was fun. And we did camping with my dad and my brothers. We went to Yellowstone and Carlsbad Caverns and Mount Rushmore. And I was in Girl Scouts and junior high and high school. I was in the band. So that's pretty much my childhood memories.
Sounds like you had some good times.
Yeah, we did. It was a good life.
So what instrument did you play in the band?
I actually started with clarinet and I ended up playing oboe.
Do you still have an opportunity to play?
I don't play. I can play at home. I don't go anywhere and play, but I have 3 clarinets and I'll get them out and play them once in a while. to my husband's dismay, not so good anymore.
But it's fun to bring back those memories, I'm sure.
It is, yes.
Other than quilting, did you have employment elsewhere?
I did. My husband and I got married in 1972. We've been married for 52 years. We married in Kansas City, and then we lived in St. Louis for a while. Then we lived at Lake of the Ozarks, because that's where we met. Both of our parents had summer places there. But anyway, after we were married, we moved to San Diego. My husband's in aerospace, and his mother worked for a clothing retailer. Famous and Bar was the name of the store. And I worked there for a while in clothing retail. And I have a funny story about that. One Christmas, of course, they had the Santas where the kids come in and get their pictures taken and everything. And one day, the Santa Claus didn't show up. And I mean, I was young. I was probably 19, 20, maybe. And Santa Claus didn't show up. And the lady that was my boss said, "You're going to be Santa Claus." So they put me in a Santa suit and the beard and the glasses and all this stuff. And I was Santa Claus for the day. And I tried to talk in a really low voice and ho, 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 you know, and all that. To this day, I wonder how many kids' pictures have me as their Santa Claus. It was a hoot. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, from there, I went to, my girls were in elementary school, and I was the school improvement coordinator at their elementary school. I worked out of the library in an office there, and the school lost funding for their librarian. So guess who got to do that? So I got that responsibility as well. So I had to be the librarian and the school improvement coordinator. But it was nice because I got to go to school with my girls and, you know, knew what they were doing and their teachers and everything. So it was fun. And then I did a program at the school with art. I would go into classrooms and we'd do fun art projects. I remember one time when I had them think about all the things that would be under the ocean, and they'd draw the water on the top, and then they'd have to think of all the things that would be under the ocean, the fish and the crabs and sharks and all the fun stuff. It was fun to do that with them. I enjoyed that. And then we got transferred to Marion here in Marion, Virginia. And I've been an administrative assistant in both education and healthcare. And then I retired, which is great.
Oh, sounds busy. Now, I am curious, what does an improvement coordinator do?
Well, what I did was the school had volunteers, and I organized all of the volunteers and told them where they were going to be working and what their responsibilities might be and that type of thing. And then I would put out a weekly newsletter for the school and all the parents and whoever they had on their mailing list. And I would do the newsletter. And that was when the Apple computers first started in the 80s. And we had these computers in the library, and I would work with the kids on how to use the computers, and they do educational games and that type of thing on them. So with all that, and then when I got the librarian on top of that, I was one busy lady.
With a weekly newsletter, that sounded like that job was plenty to keep you busy.
It was. It was almost too much when I got the librarian's job on top of that, but I managed.
Yeah.
One thing I really did like about being a librarian was I got to order all the books. That was fun.
My mind's racing with what wonderful books you get to order.
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember them all.
You kind of mentioned how you got to where you are now. Your husband was transferred there?
Yeah, we met at Lake of the Ozarks, and I was a senior in high school, and he was in college. Like I said, both of our parents had places there at the lake. The Lake of the Ozarks, I don't know if you're familiar, it's in between Kansas City and St. Louis, kind of to the south just a little bit. And it's one of the largest lakes in the United States. But anyway, he was from St. Louis and I was from Kansas City, and we met there. And we met in March, and it was love at first sight, and we got married in August. I graduated from high school in May, and we got married in August. We lived in St. Louis for about 3 years. Then we moved to the Lake of the Ozarks, and that's where our first daughter was born. We lived there, and our second daughter was born there also, and she was about a year and a half when we moved to San Diego, and he started his career in aerospace there. He was an aerospace engineer, and then we moved to Marion, Virginia, and then we moved to West Virginia. Headhunter found him, and he got recruited to go to West Virginia, and then we moved back to Marion, Virginia. The company that he worked for wanted him back here, so anyway. We've been around, but we've been here consistently now.
Each place has a special place in your heart, doesn't it?
It does. Of course, we grew up at Lake of the Ozarks, so we loved that, water skiing and fishing and family and everything there. In West Virginia, it's such a beautiful, beautiful place. The mountains are so rugged there, and I really liked living there. The only bad thing about where we lived in a little town called Union, West Virginia, and it was about 900 people. And to get anywhere, just like to go to Walmart, you had to travel 30 minutes. To get to an interstate, it's about 50 minutes to an hour. So that was the only bad thing about that. But other than that, it was just a beautiful place to live.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else about your family you wanted to share?
Like I said, we've been married for 52 years, and we have two daughters, and we have five grandchildren. The oldest daughter has the five children. The oldest two are married now. The middle one is getting married this summer. There's four boys and the one granddaughter. The granddaughter's the oldest. I've done a lot of quilting with my grandchildren. I started with them when they were just maybe 5 years old. The girl and three of the boys quilted with me quite a bit, but the oldest boy was not too interested in quilting. He was more interested in other things. But anyway, they're all grown. Don't have any great-grandchildren yet, but it's fun to do things with your grandkids.
Yeah. So I take it they live close enough that you can do things with them.
Well, when they were little, they did. They live in Northern Virginia now, close to Winchester, Virginia, so we don't get to see them as much. But when they were younger, we lived closer, and it was easier to do stuff with them, with nice. All their games and that kind of stuff. And then the youngest daughter, I have grandpets with her. Yeah, which we love them.
Yeah. If you had the chance to talk to your great-great-great-grandchildren, what is something that you would want them to know about you, and what would you like to tell them?
Well, first of all, that I love the Lord. That would be the main thing. And my grandchildren know that, and I would want my great-great-grandchildren to know that. And that I was creative and had a good sense of humor and was a prayer warrior. I believe in the power of prayer, and I'm a woman of faith. So that would be the main things that I'd want them to know. And of course, I'm a quilter, so that would be good.
Thank you so much. And also, besides quilting, are there other crafts that you have done or that you do?
Of course. I started out as a cross stitcher, like most quilters, and I have done crocheting, and I love to watercolor paint. My first quilt, I had done several blocks of cross stitches, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with them, and I thought, I'm going to make a quilt out of these. So I guess I'm going actually to the next question. My first quilt was a cross stitch quilt. So I've worked those hobbies into other quilts. And right now I do watercolor quilts as well. And I use a fabric medium and do them on prepared for dye cloth. And I do a lot of watercolor quilts. So that's a lot of fun. And I have to use little teeny tiny brushes, and it's fun to do.
So that's painting on fabric, if I understand it correctly.
Yes, but it's watercolor. It's not an acrylic or any other kind of paint. It's actually watercolor paint, and I use the fabric medium. Instead of using water, I use the fabric medium, and it sets the paint onto the fabric.
Huh. No.
Fun. You ought to try it.
Now, these are original works of art?
Some of them are. Some of them I got inspiration from adult coloring books. And since I showed my quilts, I got permission from the artists of the coloring books and asked permission to use their coloring books as inspiration to make a quilt. And I got permission from them, and I use those as inspiration and do quilts from those.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Got to get permission.
This is my 227th episode, and there's something new every time, isn't there?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is so neat. So we just covered a little bit of your hobbies in your quilting, but are there any other hobbies that you do?
I like to read, and we hike almost every day. We either hike or walk. We do a lot of hiking, camping. We like to travel to the Ohio Amish country. You're not too far from there, are you?
No, I'm directly south. If you come down 77 south, just before you go into West Virginia, that's where I am.
Okay. Yeah, well, we go by every time we go up there, and we go to the Berlin area and all around in that Ohio Amish country there. The one picture that I sent you of the Amish buggy, it's called Amish Country. That was inspired by a trip that we took up there, and I took a picture of a buggy in a barn and made that quote from the picture. We probably go up there, I don't know, two or three times a year and just really enjoy that up there. My husband likes to go to the tractor pulls, so we go up there usually in August for the tractor pulls.
You said Berlin, so have you been to Chestnut Ridge Quilt Shop?
I have not.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure where that is.
It's right on the edge of Berlin.
No, I haven't been to that one. I've been to the one in Mount Hope and somewhere sewing in Millersburg. And then there's Miller's Quilt Shop in Charm. But I must have missed the Chestnut Ridge one. I'll have to look at that next time I go.
Yeah.
They got some beautiful quilt shops up there.
Jackie, who introduced you to quilting?
Well, let's see. I'm a self-taught quilter. My grandmother made utilitarian quilts, and we didn't really live close to her as I got older, so I didn't learn quilting from her. I've taken some classes through the year, but mainly I'm self-taught. I took a class from Linda Roy, who is my quilting hero, and I think she's Audra's quilting hero, too. Taking her class, it kind of changed my perspective on quilting. I was already a very good hand quilter, but she gave me some techniques that I've worked into my quilting now, like trapunto and stuff work and that type of thing. And it was invaluable. It was such a good class. I think it was probably the best class I've taken. I took a class from Estherita Austin when the NQA show was still going. I learned some painting techniques from her. She does a whole different kind of painting than I do, but it was fun to do her class. She does a lot of portraits and neat things. She's a fabulous quilter. And then I took a class from Jenny Beyer in the Guild in West Virginia, and she taught a class on hand piecing. And the quilt that I sent a picture to you of, Diamonds Galore, that was the class that I did with her. And that's one of my favorite quilts. I really like it. And I took a class from Pat Hawley in Shipshawana, I believe, when that show was still going. We lost so many good shows with COVID. It's such a shame. But anyway, that's just a few. But mainly, I'm just self-taught.
I'm looking at the Diamonds Galore. And did you say that's hand-pieced?
It's hand-pieced and hand-quilted.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah. It's a beauty.
I want everyone to know to go look at Jackie's episode page, because you're going to want to see her amazing quilts. Jackie, do you have a favorite quilt, whether it's one that you made or that someone else made?
I think my favorite quilt is the quilt I made in 2018, and it's called Joy of Spring. And that one is also included in the pictures. That quilt took me 19 months to do, and it's all hand quilted. The color that you see in that quilt is from Sulky 12-weight variegated thread. All the color is thread. There's no painting or anything. It's all thread. And it has been a multiple show winner. And I think that's probably my favorite quilt. Another favorite is Mouse Pad. And that one's the same thing. I did all of the color with variegated Sulky thread. And that one got a big hand quilting award at the AQS Paducah show. So that was a nice one.
They're just amazing. I can't imagine all of that being done by hand. How about a favorite tool?
Well, this is going to sound kind of silly. My favorite tool, I hand make my thimbles. I used a deer skin or a thin leather. I hook elastic, like waist elastic, you know, that you put on pants, and I make them myself. And I make about 30 at a time because I go through them pretty good. But anyway, they're just made to fit my finger, and I quilt with my right index finger. Most quilters use a thimble on their middle finger, but I quilt with my index finger. And these leather thimbles, they stay on, and they're strong, and I don't have to worry about them falling off or anything like that. I just cannot use a metal thimble. So you can buy leather thimbles in the store, but they're very expensive, and I just thought, I'm going to make my own.
And with all the steps of quilting, do you have a favorite step, or do you like each step along the way?
I like all the phases from design to the binding. I do not like doing math. So lots of times I have to have a calculator or get my husband up there because he's a math whiz. But I do enjoy all the phases. Most people don't like to do binding, and I don't mind it at all. I just sit down and watch a TV show and or listen to a book and go to town.
I'm thinking about asking my eye doctor for a special pair of glasses because I need readers to see where I'm stitching, and I need my prescription to see the TV.
Yeah, I just had cataract surgery this past year because I was so nearsighted. I was like 2400. I was so nearsighted, and they did cataract surgery. So now I can see far away, and I have to have the bifocals up close, but I'm the same way. Because I'm not taking glasses on and off to sew, because I'm sewing all the time. So I had glasses made that have the bifocal, and I can see far away with them too. So that's very handy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be so. I think I will ask for that this time.
Yeah. But it's a pain to take those glasses on and off. I did that for a little while. I thought, I'm not doing this. So he wrote me a prescription just to have the far sighted and the nearsighted together. So
I put both pairs of glasses on one day, just joking, and turned to my husband and said, does this look okay? Share your worst quilting experience.
Oh, my. I think I've heard some of your other interviewees say bleeding on a show quilt. I've had that happen, and it's like heart stopping because you're at the end of the whole process and you're trying to get the blue marker out, and that bleeding happens. And I pre-wash everything, and I just don't know how it happened. But anyway, it did. And I finally, after the Dawn method and the Sensipol and all that, I finally got it out of a quilt. But oh, it's just awful. It's a horrible feeling. My latest quilt that's showing now is called Heart and Soul, and it's going through the AQS shows. It starts in Daytona Beach this month. I had an issue with one of the water-soluble blue markers set, and I couldn't get the blue marker out. I have used these blue markers for, I don't know, probably 30 years or more, and this happened to just set, the blue marker set. And I'm having a heart attack because I cannot get it out. I could not get it out. So the places that it showed, I ended up doing embroidery over the top of the blue marker because that was the only way I could get to cover it. So my quilt was all done and everything. Well, then I had to go back and do this embroidery on top of where the blue marker was. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was awful. But it came out okay. It's good. It's on the circuit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're probably the only one that notices where those are, if you could even remember.
Yeah, probably. I use crystals sometimes, and I covered some of them up with crystals. But then I thought, oh my gosh, I can't put crystals all over this thing. So I ended up doing some embroidery, and it looks fine.
Interesting.
What happened was I quilt around stuffed work, which I don't know if you know what that is. It's raised pieces that have extra batting in them, like for little circles and so forth. And I had marked those with the blue soluble markers so I could quilt around them. And that's part of what stayed in the quilt and couldn't get it out. And I embroidered around all those little circles. So you can't see it now, but at the time it was like, oh my goodness.
And it takes a while to think through, what can I do?
It does. It does. And I called my friend Linda Vaughn, and she's trying to give me some suggestions. And I think I talked to Audra about it, because I wanted to know if it had happened to anybody else, and nobody had those blue markers set. So I don't know. But I still use them. I have faith in them. I don't know what happened on this particular thing. I don't know if the sun got to it, because sometimes sun will set those. But I don't know what happened. It was just weird.
Huh.
Yeah. So I guess my advice would be, don't get your quilt in the sun if you have blue marker on it. That might have been what did it. I don't know.
Why do you think you make quilts? What has drawn you to this craft rather than do anything else in your life?
Well, I think it's just a very creative outlet, and it's always a skill builder. You can always learn something new when you're making quilts. Something enjoyable to do when you're alone or if you're with a little group, and they're just beautiful. You can make them for yourself. You can make them for other people. I just think it's great. I think because I enjoy so many different techniques, I think that's another reason that I like to quilt, because I can do all the things I like to do. I can paint, or I can piece, or whatever. Hand quilting is my favorite, but I do a lot of other techniques. I do machine quilting and hand quilting, but hand quilting is my favorite. It's very relaxing for me, too, to hand quilt. I don't know. There's just something therapeutic about it.
So do you have a big frame or a smaller circular frame, or?
Actually, my husband made me a hoop. It's a 16-inch, 1-inch wide hoop. And then he used a smaller hoop on the bottom, and he used dowel rods because I like to have it up on my lap. I don't like it real low on my lap. So it has a smaller hoop on the bottom, and it's got dowel rods, and then it's got the bigger hoop on the top. So I actually have a base, and I do all of my quilting in my lap. I'm a lap quilter. I don't do a frame or anything. So that worked out really nice. He made me that years and years ago. It's just wonderful to have. And that's what I use.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know you make show quilts. Is that who you usually make them for, or do you have someone else in mind when you're making a quilt?
I make show quilts. And I make quilts for family. I make quilts for friends. I've done some commission pieces. I just make them because I love to make them. If I start on a quilt and I'm thinking, this is going to be good enough to be a show quilt, because not all quilts are, you know, quilts that you make for utilitarian uses or your bed covers or whatever, those are not going to be show quilts. But if I'm working on something, I'm thinking, this is really good, because you know, and I'm thinking, this is really good, I think I'm going to go for this one and do it in a show. And I usually know by, probably halfway through if I'm going to do it for a show. But I do them for family and friends. And I have 5 grandchildren, so I've made a lot of baby quilts. And a lot of my quilts I started hanging at our local library. After COVID, they were trying to figure out how to open up the library again. And I said, I will offer to hang an exhibition at the library to draw people back into the library. So I hung about 35 quilts at the library after COVID. I think it was probably in 2021 when they reopened. And that drew in a lot of people. And since then, I refresh the quilts and I'll take some down and hang others up. And they love having them there. They like to look at them. And people do come in just to see the quilts, but it gets people in the door at the library, which I'm just thrilled to do because I love our local library. It's a wonderful, wonderful library for a small town. People appreciate them, I think, and I hear a lot of feedback, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Are you working on a special project right now?
I think I mentioned that I finished Heart and Soul. That's the name of my latest show quilt, and it's on the circuit now. And my middle grandson is getting married in August, and he and his fiance wanted a quilt. I offered to do them a quilt. So they decided they wanted a king-size quilt. So I'm doing a king-sized wedding quilt for them, and it's paper-pieced. And it's a monster. I'm going to hate it when I have to go pick all those papers out. But anyway, it's really pretty. And they picked out the colors they wanted, and they picked out a pattern that they liked. So I've been working on that since the fall. It's got 90 blocks, 90 12 and a half inch blocks. It's going to be huge. I'm just about finished with the blocks. I've got four more to go, and then I'll start putting it together. But it's going to be really pretty. They're thrilled to be getting that. And then I'm also working on a handpiece grandmother's flower garden. I'm going to finish that, and then I'm going to quilt it. That's going to be the background for some applique that I'm going to do on top of it. So I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do on top, but I want to quilt it before I start doing the applique on top of it. I usually have a machine something going, and I have a hand something going because in the evenings I like to sit and do hand work.
Wow. And I assume your grandson understands that you're an award-winning quilter and this quilt is going to be amazing.
He does, yeah. He was one that quilted with me probably the most out of all my grandchildren. He actually made a bed-sized quilt. And he understands the fabric. He loves batiks. He understands the process of putting a quilt together and all the steps. He understands it all. And he really, really appreciates quilts. And he will definitely appreciate, and his fiance too, they will appreciate the quilt.
Great. Describe your sewing space.
I have a marvelous sewing studio. My wonderful husband. 1 year I was teaching a quilting retreat at the Lewis County, West Virginia quilting retreat, Jackson's Mill. And while I was away, my husband surprised me. And we have a big space upstairs that had a bedroom and a closet. And while I was gone on this retreat, he started to demo the whole space and tore down walls and everything. And it's about 385 square feet. It's 12 by 32. And so I got home and I was just thrilled to see that he had started this. I didn't know he was going to do it. So I helped him work on it. And I did some painting and stuff like that. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful space for me to work in. And it spills out into the hallway. There's a hallway with another bedroom and a bath. So it spills out into the hallway. And I have the craft tables that I can take in and out. I have furnished it with mostly antique pieces. I've got an antique armoire and an antique desk and secretary and two antique chairs and multiple vintage machines. I have an Art Deco treadle machine in there. And my sewing table, he made years ago for me. And when Kmart was still in business, we found this kitchen table and it was nice and big and square and it has these big metal legs and it's real sturdy and everything. So he cut out the space for my sewing machine to fit in there, custom fit. And my sewing machine sits in there so it sits flat with the table. And it's just been heaven to have all this room and the sewing table. And I have my cutting table and all that stuff in there. So it's fun.
Sounds like a marvelous place.
Oh, it is. That's where I live.
Jackie, do you have a quilting tip to share?
I guess my quilting tip would just be to relax and have fun quilting. Don't listen to quilting police. And to buy the best fabric and thread and needles that you can afford. A lot of people, especially on their sewing machines, they try and make their needles go forever. And then they have trouble with their machines and they can't figure out what's wrong with them. My students used to say that. And, you know, I can't make my sewing machine work. And I say, when's the last time you changed your needle? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. And I'd say, you've got to change your needle after every big project that you work on, because you're using your needle in different types of fabrics and battings and all kinds of stuff. And you need to change your sewing machine needle. Don't be chintzy with your machine needles. And I use the same thought with my hand quilting needles. I use the best needles that I can afford. I love the Japanese, they're called tulip needles. I use a size 12 tulip needle to hand quilt with. They're very strong and they don't break very easily. And I buy really good thread, because you need to buy good thread if you're going to buy good fabric. So that would be my advice.
It's always good to hear that again. That's great. When did you decide to start showing your quilts in the larger quilt shows?
I started showing quilts in 2010. And I started showing in small shows, like local shows, or not the great big AQS shows or anything like that. And I would get really good feedback from certified judges. And I thought, well, if it did this well in a small show, maybe I should go on and try a bigger show. And so I did. And just through the years, I did and have done very well with it.
How exciting that people came up to you and encouraged you along the way.
Quilters are good like that. I don't find very many jealous quilters. Usually they're very encouraging. And if you have questions, you can ask other quilters. And I highly recommend that you do that. Don't let it sway your thought process of what you might want to do or so forth. But I think that other quilters are very helpful. Mm-hmm. As well as the certified judges. I did want to say, too, that the critiques that judges give you are helpful, but don't change your style because a judge doesn't like your colors or your layout or whatever. If it pleases you, that's good. You should do what you love to do. I've had a judge one time that said that she didn't like my color choices. Well, that's personal. You know, that has nothing to do, really, I think, with techniques or things like that. And it was her personal preference, you know, that she didn't care for my color choices. I've never actually had anybody else say that except this one judge. But you learn from critiques. And if they can give you some pointers, you know, if you need to fix your binding a little bit or move a trim or, you know, something like that, it's very helpful.
It is. And they're learning too.
They are, yeah.
Thank you for sending your list of your quilts. Now, if I counted correctly, you made 48 show quilts.
I never counted them, but if you're telling me that's what I sent you, I think that's probably right. I know it's a long list.
And that is a lot of quilts to make in 13 years.
It is, yeah.
And that's only counting your show quilts. That's not counting any other quilts that you may have made to give away.
Yeah, you know what I do. I just quilt.
How long does it usually, or the average, does it take to make a show quilt?
For my hand-quilted quilts, the longest it's taken me, the one before the last one, it was 2 years. And that one was all hand quilted. And then usually it takes me 18 or 19 months to do a hand quilted quilt. Of course, using the machine, it doesn't take as long. I can do that in usually a couple months. I can get that done if I'm not doing a ton of piecing. But if I do a watercolor quilt or whatever, and I just want to quilt it, it doesn't take me 18 months. It'll usually just take me a couple months.
I was also wondering, did you have some of these quilts completely done before you ever started showing them in quilt shows? Obviously, you have them done before you put them in the quilt shows, but I mean, did you have a stack of quilts?
I might might have had one or two that I had done, like the Diamonds Galore. I had that one done, I think, before I decided I would show it. I can't think of another one. I did a bed quilt that I decided to show after I had had it made, because I had made it specifically for the bed, and then I really liked it, and I thought, well, I'll try it in the show. It was the Machine Quilting Show, which is still no longer in business now. I think it was up in New England. But anyway, I think those are the only two that I can think of.
And it amazed me, the long list where each quilt had won, or that they were in, I guess. Mm-hmm. Each quilt was in several different shows. I was hoping you could explain to me a little bit about how you're allowed to enter quilts in multiple shows.
It depends on the quilt show. AQS allows you to show the same quilt in every show for a year, and you can show it once in each show, but you can't repeat it. Like if you start out at Daytona Beach like this month, I couldn't show it again in Daytona Beach next month, but I can show it in all the other shows this year. What they do is, starting this year, you don't have to reship them every time. You just put a hold on them, and they take them and they store them at their AQS facility in Paducah, and then they just have them there for the next show. So I sent my quilt off for the Daytona Beach show, and I won't get it back until probably October. So it's gone for a while. And you can show the same quilt like I showed at AQS. I can show them in different shows. Like I had quilts that I show at Houston, and I'll show them at AQS, or I'll show it at the Road to California, and it'll have gone to Houston and AQS. As long as they're accepted into a show, you can send them, but they do not allow repeats in any show. And sometimes it gets a little crazy. You have to really juggle your calendar to get a quilt from one show to the next show. Some of the big shows will ship a quilt from their show to another show. Like Road to California will ship to an AQS show. And I think AQS will ship to other shows also. So my calendar's just a juggle.
And maybe that explains why you had such a great list, because now you know you can't send that quilt to that show anymore.
Exactly. That's why that list that I sent you, I keep that up to date, because if I don't, I don't remember where it's been or when it was. So that way it's a nice thing for me just to go back and look at. Now, has this one been in this show? And I'll go back and look and say, nope, I can send it. Or, yep, I can't send it. So, yeah.
Describe how exciting it was to see one of your quilts hanging in one of these major quilt shows.
Well, it's just very exciting. First of all, when you first start sending them to shows, just to get them juried in is exciting. And you go and see your quilt hanging in a big show, and it's like, oh gosh, and you just start taking pictures and everything. And then when you start winning, it's just so, so exciting. It never gets old. People ask me, do you go with your quilts to all these shows? And I say, oh no, the quilt just goes. And we go to a lot of the shows. We've been to the AQS show in Paducah and Grand Rapids and Charlotte and Lancaster and Knoxville. And then I went to the AQS show in Houston one year. So we go to some of them, but there's no way you can get to all of them.
No, if people saw your list, there's no way.
Yeah, for sure.
And what was your reaction to seeing your quilts in American Quilter Society magazine?
Oh my. In September of 23, Mousepad was featured in an article, and it was called Attention to Detail. So if you get that magazine, it was published in September of 23. And then in July of 23, I got mentioned in the magazine for the Paducah show, and I had a quilt called Paramecium Aurora Amoeba, and it placed second in the small hand quilted category. That one was in the magazine. And then in January 19, I had Joy of Spring, which featured from first place Fall Paducah. And then I had a large hand quilted quilt from 2014 in Charlotte. the Baltimore Album Tribute, and that was the Best Wall Quilt Award. That was my first really big award, to get the Wall Quilt Award. Also, Baltimore Album Tribute had a honorable mention in the Lancaster Show in 2014. And it's funny because there's different judges. You can get different placings in different shows. So I got the Best Wall Quilt in Charlotte, and then I only got an honorable mention at a Lancaster Show. So it's just weird. But anyway, and then 2021, I had the Cirque Touche in the AQS Engagement Calendar. And in 2012, I had Flash and Curve was the Des Moines Program Cover Girl. So that was my first really published quilt, was the program guide.
Now, you've retired from teaching quilting, but when you did teach, what techniques did you teach?
I taught a lot of different things. I taught hand piecing, hand quilting, and I did applique, freezer paper method, Hawaiian, reverse, wool, and I did those in both hand and machine. I taught broidery purse, crazy quilting, fabric painting, trapunto, paper piecing. I did a class in West Virginia called Snippets. I don't know if you're familiar with that. You cut up fabric in little tiny pieces and make pictures out of it with the colors. It's pretty cool. And then I taught yo-yos and ruched flowers, and I taught some design work. So I've done just about everything.
Yeah, I was thinking it might have been easier to ask you what you did not teach.
That's true.
And where did you go to do your classes?
I did Lewis County Annual Quilt Retreat at Jackson's Mill in West Virginia. I did that retreat for probably 20 years, and it was my favorite place to teach. And I would have ladies, I called them my groupies. Well, actually, my husband called them my groupies. But they would come for any class that I taught every year. And it was just like old home week every year. And I'd see the same faces and we'd just catch up. And it was so much fun. I taught for our local quilt guild here. It's called New Traditions Quilt Guild here in Marion. I taught at Crooked Road Quilters in Hayside, West Virginia. Or no, I'm sorry, Virginia. That's in far southwest Virginia. The West Virginia Quilt Guild, the Alderson West Virginia Quilt Guild, Delectable Mountains Quilt Guild in Berkeley, West Virginia, the Sewing Gallery in Princeton, West Virginia, Virginia Highlands Quilt Shop in Abingdon, Virginia, Mountain Peacemakers Quilt Guild in Burnsville, North Carolina. So I taught for a long time. I think I taught about 22 years. And then COVID hit in 2020, and it was just like a balloon deflated. And I just thought, I don't really want to do this anymore. So I've had people call and say, well, you teach, will you teach? I said, no, I'm retired. I made the decision, so I just am sticking to it. So, but I did make a lot of quilts in 2020 and 2021. I think a lot of quilters did.
I think so. And it's exciting that a lot of people picked up quilting during those years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Jackie, is there anything else you wanted to share with us?
Well, I've made more quilts than I can ever count, and babies and weddings and fun quilts for those I love, and cute quilts, and just because I wanted to make it. I just love quilting, and I want other people to love quilting and go take a class somewhere and learn how to do it if you don't know how to do it. If you do know how to do it, go take a class and improve your skills, or do a YouTube video, or get together with other quilters, and a group of quilters can really teach you a lot. There are things that other quilters know that you don't, that they can help you with.
Yeah. Always something new to learn.
Absolutely.
Well, Jackie, thank you again so much for being on A Quilter's Life. I so enjoyed listening to your story and hearing what you had to say.
And thank you so much for having me. And it's such a pleasure to get to talk to you on the phone. And one day I hope to meet you on your way up to Amish country.
I would love to get to meet you.
Yeah. And may the Lord bless you this year.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com. Or subscribe on your favorite podcast player so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Also, I want to hear about you and your wonderful quilts. Please contact me, Paula Chamberlain, through the website to set up an interview. And as always, thanks for listening.